I think we find 1 Peter just very helpful during the times in which we live, and I hope you found it helpful too for your journey and for your walk with Christ as we've been kind of journeying through this book and just reminding you every week about who this guy Peter is, who is writing these words that we get to read almost 2,000 years later, that he's just Simon. He's simply a fisherman came from Capernaum, lives on the Sea of Galilee. He goes fishing every day and he encounters Jesus and it changes everything about his life. And he does really well and he has his moments, he has his ups and downs until the day that Jesus was arrested. And it so messed him up, he ends up denying that he even knew Jesus three times. And he thinks it's over, so he goes back to fishing. And then Jesus meets him again on the beach in the Sea of Galilee and invites him once again to lead and to follow me, Peter. And then he gives them the reins of the early church. It's just an amazing picture, an amazing scene that takes place. And he ultimately dies as a martyr. Now, a lot of those are just historical that we know of. That Peter, in fact, it wasn't just him. They thought they could get Peter to turn if they killed his wife first. And so Peter, according to all the traditions we have, said, told his wife over and over again, remember the Lord, remember the Lord, remember the Lord. And so that is how his life ends, as a martyr, as giving everything for the faith. Now, today is all about the topic of persecution and suffering, because that's what he wants to talk about. That there are times that we suffer and we go through suffering in this world because it's a broken, fallen, messed up world. And there's times that we are persecuted simply because we follow Jesus. And that's where they were, and that's what they were experiencing, and that's what they were going through. So I thought I would have you us understand that there is a lot of this going on in our world, particularly with persecution. So I want to remind us, because at times we just don't remember this and we don't think about this, but in the last year, so the statistics I'm going to give you are done by an organization that tries to track what's going on. They try to help Christians in different areas. And so these are kind of the latest statistics we have. Sometime around 2019 into 2020, they compiled these so that we would have an idea of what's going on in the world to people just like us who are following Jesus. So in the last year, 260 million Christians live in places of high levels of persecution. That's a big number, okay? That's a big number that are living in places like China, like North Korea, that have high levels of persecution, where the church is almost all entirely underground, hidden, meeting in homes, secretly moving people around, because if you're found out, you are arrested, you are fingerprinted, they make sure that they know what you're doing, okay? 260 million, okay? It's not just China and North Korea, it's other places that people live in high levels of persecution. Also, just this, again, for these statistics, 2,980 Christians were killed for their faith. It's a lot. Again, why? Because persecution is real. It happens for people following Jesus. And that's the most, you know, again, up-to-date number that I could find. 9,488 churches and other Christian buildings were attacked. Maybe one of the most famous ones, and I don't know if you saw this footage on Facebook. I did. And it's because it was one case in which the Chinese government wanted to put stuff out there and said, oh, here's what happened. We found a church that was meeting in an abandoned warehouse. This is what we did to the warehouse. And you watched them absolutely bulldoze and tear down this warehouse. That's what they did. Oh, there's a church meeting here? Not anymore. And so where Chinese Christians were getting a little bit of freedom, all of a sudden now it is full-on crackdown, and they found this warehouse and they absolutely demolished it and destroyed it. 3,711 believers were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, or imprisoned. Okay? No trial, no hire a lawyer, none of that stuff. Okay? They're arrested, they're sentenced, or they're imprisoned. Okay? Go directly to jail, do not pass go, nothing, just go. That's what's going on in our world. And this is the reason why. That Jesus Christ is still a threat to dictators and tyrants and systems of belief who have no room for God. You need to understand, the leaders in these nations, they have no room for God. Okay? They want to be worshipped as God. They want to be the central point of everything. So they have no room for people who have some other system of belief. So their way of dealing with it is, shut it down, it's illegal, it doesn't happen. Now, I will walk a very tight line this morning. In our own nation, we have seen people and people in leadership do this kind of stuff, okay? For the first time that I remember it ever happening. Okay, churches being told they can't meet. Okay, you can have a protest. You can do all sorts of things. It's amazing. You can do all sorts of things in some of these states. But go to church? Oh, no. No, no, you can't. You can't. You're not allowed to. In fact, a good friend of mine who came from California checks in with his pastor constantly. They're in a county in which the county rules state they should be allowed 50% occupancy. Okay? That's what we're allowed, 50% occupancy. And so when they went to do that, the leader said, yeah, I know that's what it says, but no. No, you're not allowed to. You are not allowed to. Most churches in California, okay, are still meeting outdoors. Thankfully, they have the weather to do that because that's how they're allowed really to meet in what is going on and what is taking place. If you would look at the Jewish community in New York City, who've had video cameras set up, who rabbis have had police knocking on their door saying, I think you have too many in your home. You're not allowed to do that. Things we probably never would have imagined. And I am telling you that people who do that, okay, they have no room for God. They have no room for the system of belief of Christianity, and that is why they act in the way they do. That's why they do the things they do. They just have no room for it. They have no room for it. They have no leniency for it. Shut it down. Tear it down. We don't want any part of it. And to think that happened in our own country is just crazy. I don't know about you. For me, it's just absolutely crazy to think that that kind of stuff would happen in our own country in this time. So it's real to say there are some things going on. Is it like China? No. Not even close. But there are things going on. There are freedoms being infringed on. And it's important to remember that and to know that. So, Peter, what you need to know is Peter knew two things. He knew persecution and he knew suffering because he dealt with it both. And in the book of Acts, we're told of some of those accounts. We're told that because Peter and John were preaching one day, they were just arrested. Oh, you're not, Jesus, you're not allowed to preach about that. They arrested them. They took them before the Sanhedrin. They ended up beating them and setting them free because they didn't know what else to do with them. So Peter knew something about persecution. He knew something about suffering. He knew about going through hardship and difficulties. He knew something about it. And he knew that these individual believers in the places where they were living were going through the same thing. And he knows he needs to write part of what he's going to put in here to them and encourage them in what they are going through. And here's the hope today. The hope today is you and I would get something from this today and be reminded that when we're suffering and when times are hard in our life, that God is at work through that. That God isn't absent, he isn't distant, he isn't too worried about things on the other side of the world to bother with us. He's actually near and he's actually working in those times. If we could just recognize that and see that and embrace what he wants to do in those times. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to finish up this chapter this morning. Here we go. Dear friends, do not be astonished that a trial by fire is occurring to you as though something strange were happening. He just wants them to understand, okay? Persecution, suffering. Don't think of it as strange. Don't think of it as odd, okay? I don't want you to think of it that way. I want you to think of it as something in which, again, God is going to use and God is going to do something in and through that. But rejoice. But I don't want to rejoice. Do you know what I'm going through? Do you know what's happening? Do you know what's going on in my life? He wants us to rejoice in the degree that you have shared in the sufferings of Christ. See, now he's getting us to understand what's going on in the midst of this. You see, do you understand, Peter would say, that the way we begin to look at suffering and we began to look at persecution is we got to a little bit sharing what Jesus did for us. We got to understand a little bit more of him laying down his life for us. We got to understand something about suffering and persecution that Jesus went through. So that when his glory is revealed, you also can rejoice and be glad. Continues. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Most people, we just don't think of it that way, right? If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Because the Spirit of glory, who is the Spirit of God, rests on you. You understand you are doing nothing wrong, you are doing everything right in those moments. Don't ever forget that, he wants to remind them. Don't ever forget that. You are not doing something wrong, you are doing something right. So consider yourself to be blessed because of what God is doing in and through you. But let none of you suffer, because he said, wait a minute, I should define this. Let none of you suffer as murderer or thief or criminal or as a troublemaker, okay? There's times we bring suffering on ourselves. We just do. Come on. You ever get them in the mail? You went through a traffic camera, right? A speed camera, there it comes. And for some reason in my house, and I finally figured this out, I finally know why the cars are in my name. It's all the tickets get blamed on me, okay? I just love it. I just absolutely love that. There was one time I let my sister-in-law borrow a vehicle, and about 2 weeks later, right, we get this thing, and I'm like, wait a minute. I know that wasn't me. I was doing a funeral at the time, okay? And then I realized, oh, I knew who had the car, okay? So he's saying there's times we suffer. Let's just be honest. There's times we suffer because we make bad choices, and we make wrong choices, and we do things that we shouldn't do, okay? He's going to say, I'm not talking about that type of suffering that we bring in ourselves for wrong decisions, okay? He just wants to make sure you understand that that's what he means. He's talking about suffering for the name of Christ and suffering for doing right. But if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but glorify God that you bear such a name. Glorify God that you had the opportunity to actually have someone insult you because you simply follow Jesus. You simply just follow Jesus. And because you do that, that just makes a difference in somebody else. I was watching the other night at the end of a football game. They were taking the quarterback. And the quarterback wanted to start with giving God glory. And it was funny because the guy who is interviewing him wanted nothing to do with it. No, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the game, okay? I want to talk about that touchdown you threw that won the game. And he's like, no, I need to say this first, okay? That I'm just here because God has given me all these abilities and gifts, and I'm just here to bring glory to him. And he tried to make sure that got said first before anything else about, look what I accomplished, I made this great throw, we won the game. He just wanted to make sure that was out there first. And you could tell the reporter's just, oh, why do we have to talk about this? Okay? Yeah, because he wants to talk about this. And there's a lot of that goes on even in our own world. And he says, if that happens to you, that because you are a Christ follower, that somebody would just, look down on you, talk bad about you, you should just feel blessed that you were able to suffer for that name. For it is time for judgment to begin, starting with the house of God. Now, that's one of those verses you come across and like, well, what's he talking about? He's saying, do you understand that we make sure that we are right first with God above everything else? We want everybody else to be judged. God said, would you allow me to just look in your own life and heart? Because suffering has a way of doing that. It just has a way of revealing things and bringing up things that we would like to not think we struggle with or not have problems with, but it just has a way of bringing those things up in our life. And he says, do you realize that that's okay? That's okay. Let God work in your life in the midst of that. And if it starts with us, what will be the fate of those who are disobedient to the gospel of God? He's trying to always remind us, listen, there is a fate for those who don't follow, who mock, who go against. He says, there is a fate for them. And if righteous are barely saved, then what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? How important it is to follow Jesus. So then let those who suffer according to the will of God and trust their soul to a faithful creator as they do good. Okay, so I want to give you these four reminders out of this text. I think there's four reminders he gives us about going through and dealing with suffering or dealing with persecution or dealing with those two things. That first of all is that suffering reveals character. It reveals. And it reveals more than character. Okay, so let's just pause for a moment and reflect on the last 8 months. At the beginning of what went on, things were revealed. In fact, throughout this whole time, I've said this plainly. Things were revealed. Things were revealed in your life. And you might have thought some things. You're like, why am I thinking that? Okay. Why do I think that? You might have things happen over the past 8 months that were surprising to you, because that's what suffering does. It reveals things. It reveals your character. It's a way to do that like nothing else does. That's not a bad thing. The bad thing is if you take what's revealed and you just kind of push it aside and bury it. Oh, boy, that was bad. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to go through that. That happened for good. You need to hear me. That happened for good. That God was able to take something and reveal our hearts, reveal some things in our life that maybe at times were ugly, but they got brought to the surface so now we can actually deal with it. And instead of just saying, oh yeah, but everybody else was like that. Okay, and I know this kind of stirred up some anxiety in me, but gosh, everybody's anxious right now, right? Everybody's got anxiety right now through this whole thing. So we just excuse it, or we shove it away, and we don't realize that this is a grand opportunity to actually deal with what's being revealed. It's a beautiful opportunity to actually confront what's being revealed in us. I've told you my own stories during this time, told you the old things that I battled with and struggled with during this, because it just happens. It's revealed something. And so I looked and said, well, I can either pretend this didn't happen, or I can actually learn from this and move forward in this and actually be better following Jesus during this time. So what have you done with what was revealed? What have you done with what was revealed? Is kind of just bury it, forget about it, I don't want to talk about it, everybody's like this. You probably did one of those things. I hope that you said, wow, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to actually deal with this, to deal with all that stuff that came up, because things got very different than we ever experienced before. Don't waste those moments. That's God at work, revealing character, revealing our hearts, revealing things that we would like to bury and forget. Don't waste that opportunity. In fact, next Sunday, when we start in on 1 Peter chapter 5, when he begins to talk about leadership, we're going to talk about what revealed in our own church and some things we want to do moving forward out of what was revealed and what we saw and what happened from that. And again, we can sit there and go, oh yeah, but it's 2020 and 2020 is just a terrible year. Let's just forget all this and just go back to what we were doing. If all you do is return to what you were doing before, you've learned nothing. You've just learned nothing. We've, as a church, would have learned nothing. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always done. And part of what God did during this time is paused, caused us to think, brought some stuff up, and I don't want you to waste that. And we as a church don't want to waste that. That God wants to speak and reveal and work, and we want to fully allow him to do that in our lives and in our church during this time. I was listening to a guy that I kind of heard at a conference once, and he has one of those reality business type shows, and they were talking to him. He's the CEO of Camping World. And so, you know, he's trying to tell this person that is interviewing him that things have changed. things have changed greatly. And their topic was consumer spending. And he said, listen, we've seen all sorts of different spending by different things. And the point the person interviewing was trying to make was, listen, in a few years, everybody's going to go right back to what they're doing before. And he goes, I wouldn't say that. Some things, maybe. Some things have changed. And if we don't learn from what was changed, then we'll just make the same mistakes over and over again. And that was his point. And this is not a Christ follower when he's talking about church. He was just talking about business, that they're trying to do the same thing. That this revealed something, and we either learn from it, pivot, and move forward, or we just go back to doing whatever we did before. Number two, Peter reminds us that suffering is an opportunity to experience what Jesus did for me. That's what he reminded them. Do you realize when you're going through this, this is just a little taste of what Jesus suffered for our redemption and for our freedom. It actually does more than what Jesus set up for us to do, to take the bread and the cup as we will do today and be reminded of his suffering. That actually going through something just gives us a taste more of what Jesus has done for us. So we shouldn't look at those times and say, oh, can they end? Can we get back to what we were doing before? We actually should embrace those times. If we get to experience a little bit of what Jesus did for us, it would probably make us far better followers of him, to experience a little bit of what he went through and what he suffered for us. Number three, the world views suffering as a curse when it really is a blessing from God, right? That's what I've heard so much of over 8 months. This curse, this is terrible, this is awful. And instead of trying to learn from it and trying to see what gets revealed in us, and yeah, did a lot of terrible, awful things, probably will continue going through some of that suffering. But too often suffering just views a curse. Oh, something's wrong with you that this happens. So much of suffering is that we live in a broken, fallen, messed up world. And I know I say that a lot because I've got to drill that into all of our heads, including my own. If I don't, we have a tendency then to start blaming God for things that God did not do. He did not do that. He didn't participate in that. He didn't make that happen. He didn't cause that to happen. Now, does nothing happen without God's knowledge? Absolutely. But so often, here's what happens, okay? Something happens in our life, we're suffering, it's all God's fault, and we use that, and Satan comes in and uses it as a wedge, and he pushes us farther and farther and farther away. You just count as clockwork. That most people who have given up following Jesus, a lot of it is done out of suffering because they can't understand why God messed up their lives. And it's God's fault, and look what God did. And they just forget, in this broken, messed up world, God takes all that pain and suffering and he wants to use it as a blessing in our lives. And sometimes we can't see that up front, and sometimes it takes a little time to process that. But if we would trust God in it and through it, we would get to that point. We're like, wow, God really did something amazing in my life in and through what I was experiencing, what was going on. The last one, that suffering is a way to do what we talked about last week, to live out our purpose. What's our purpose? To glorify God. To live out our purpose, which is ultimately to bring glory to God. That suffering is a way to do that. If you know how to do that, hey, go with what you're suffering with and what's going on in your life. And if you're going through one of those seasons, it's a perfect opportunity to glorify God by watching what he is doing in your life. So this past week, and I asked you to pray for him, and for many of you, you don't know who he is because he was never a part of our church. His mom, years ago, was a part of our church. I asked you to pray for Ed Pace, a friend of mine. So when I met him, this is, I don't know, 20-something years ago. When I met Ed, his mom had just started coming into church, and she said, my son's in the ICU. He had Crohn's disease, and this is before Crohn's disease had any type of medicine attached with it, okay? There was, like, nothing you could do, okay? See, Crohn's disease. So she's like, can you go see him? So when I saw met Ed for the first time, he was in ICU with a open, okay, he was opened up. They had taken a section of his colon, and the reason they closed him up is they thought they'd probably have to go right back in and do it again. Okay, that's where I met Ed Pace. It was unbelievable, okay, what he was going through, and, okay, and so this is a guy I have learned from because I've watched him suffer and suffer well, okay? I walked out of that hospital room that day a far different person. He ministered to me far more than I did anything to him, okay? I don't know if I'd ever seen somebody who was so near death and so sick and so bad off, who was just absolutely thankful for the way that God was working in his life. I'm just amazed. Goodness, okay? Now, shortly after that, medicine became available, and he was able to not have any more surgeries and get on a better path of healing. And it was shortly after that that all this started coming together and he started feeling better and medicine started to work, that two of his kids were killed in a car accident. And so then I'm watching this man now suffer in a very different way, okay? In a far different way than I had before. And so that's experience watching him again walk through suffering and do so as his ultimate purpose to glorify God. And this has just been a guy I've watched for the last 20-something years live out this way. And the medicine, this is what they believe, the medicine that gave him his life back, that gave him the 20-something years after that, is probably what is responsible for giving him cancer. That's what they ultimately believe happened, and he passed away the other day. And so for him, I see this lived out in him. And he was able to show this to me, that there is a way in the midst of suffering to actually live out giving God glory, no matter what happens and no matter what takes place. So I know it's possible. I've watched somebody do it. I've watched somebody do it all the way up to the very end of their life. And no matter what they went through, no matter what they suffered, and that they just chose to give God the glory in all of it. And so I know that we can live that way as well. That whatever's happening, whatever's taking place, it is an opportunity to live out that purpose of giving God glory no matter what is happening in our life. So here's our reminder today, that following Jesus is an invitation to suffer like Jesus and for Jesus, for God's glory, and for our good. That's a lot. But we get to suffer like Jesus, we get to suffer for Jesus, and we do this all for God's glory, and ultimately, and what I hope you won't forget, our good. It is for our good that God wants to work in our lives. So I want to pray this morning, and then we are going to do what we did a few weeks ago, take communion together. So I'll describe that process to you, that Dave and I will wear gloves and masks, and we will hand you two cups, one on top of the other. One has bread in it, and one has juice in it, and then we will take and eat. If you're joining us online, grab something at home and join us as we take these elements and eat and drink together. And in so, we celebrate what Jesus has done for us. So let's pray, and then we are going to be passing out elements this morning.